Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by LunaWeb, this is show number 26, April 1st, 2010. That's like halfway to 52.
You know? Excellent math skills.
So that's a
color me impressed.
6 months.
It is.
And it has been a curvy ride. Sometimes it's straight. Sometimes we're going uphill, downhill, treacherous curves. You know, like right now.
Very philosophical.
Do you know Mari Smith?
I don't. Tell me more.
Okay, it's Mari Smith. I met Mari at the Web Community Forum back in 2007 in Seattle. It was almost kind of like the Breakfast Club, it seems like, for those of us who have been there for a while.
Yeah.
She and I actually did a presentation together, an impromptu presentation, because it was an unconference. It was one of those hybrids, like what we do here for our camps.
Yeah.
There were scheduled presentations, and there were the impromptu type things.
Right.
And so the unconference, she and I shared the stage and did bits on Facebook for Business, because the whole thing was about Facebook. And she's a big deal on Facebook. She does a lot of Facebook stuff. She's kind of a nationally recognized person with regard to getting small business on Facebook and solopreneurs and that kind of thing. Anyway, so in her update last night, Mari was all up in arms about some Facebook settings that exposed some... Have you heard of this? This kind of thing? Like exposing some of her Facebook privacy? That she thought was locked down?
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
I didn't hear about her specific situation, but I've known...
Yeah,
my periphery that's happened to.
She evidently just unearthed this thing yesterday. She had some trolls. You know, I guess, you know, you get to be a national big star like that.
It'll happen.
You know, you get trolls. And so some of them were writing on her wall, but she had them blocked personally. So she couldn't see the stuff that they were writing, but they could still write on her fan page.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah. She didn't know it until a friend of hers who had not blocked the troll could see what the troll was writing on the wall. So more details on that soon. That's kind of unfolding.
My goodness.
Yeah, so, you know, we were talking, you know, recently about the whole privacy type thing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this looks like, you know, it's going to be more big news this year on the whole privacy front.
Yeah, we haven't heard the last of that by any stretch of the imagination.
So what else is going on with our good buddies over at Facebook?
They have decided that you're going to start liking things instead of becoming a fan of them. So now you like statuses and you like activity, which I always think is funny. You know, when you like something that someone's done, the way it appears on your newsfeed is, Elizabeth liked Dave's activity.
Yeah.
And it just makes me laugh. The phrase itself is quite funny. But now you're going to like LunaWeb instead of being a fan of LunaWeb, which is interesting. It has some implications. I mean, it's great for businesses because apparently people are just so much more likely to like something than they are to become a fan of it. But clearly, if you think about that, the reason they're more likely to do it is because of the way the function exists now. I'm far more likely to press the thumbs up on someone's status post than I am to actually commit to being a fan of a page.
Oh.
And so, though they're using that statistic to make it seem like this is going to be such a great thing for business, we're not that dumb. And I just don't know that it's really going to work the way they think it is.
I was fine with the fan thing.
I was too.
You know, it took a little to get used to, but I think, you know, most people now are on Facebook and are used to the whole fan notion and used to what that means. Just like Facebook friends, we were talking about this.
Right.
Friends and Facebook friends, they mean different things. And being a fan of LunaWeb didn't mean you were a fanatical type person, you know?
No.
Or LunaWeb, you just liked it. But we got used to that word. I wish they wouldn't change the words, you know?
Right. And, you know, if they were going to change it to anything, I'm becoming more and more a fan of the idea, I'm going to make a page about it, of the idea of following. And I think I actually read that maybe in the article that I saw this story on Mashable, but like you follow people on Twitter. It just makes more sense because there are some things on Facebook that I'm not necessarily actually a fan of. And I certainly don't maybe like them.
Yeah.
But I might follow them. Right. I might want to know what they're doing.
I've found myself in a corner every now and then with the like thing because somebody will say something a little grave. And
you agree.
Yeah.
You second their sentiment.
Exactly.
But you don't have any way to do that. Exactly. It's like, oh, you know, I hate this weather. It's awful. It rained in my hair. You don't want to like that. Because then it just feels like, oh, I'm glad that you got rain in your hair. That's great.
Yeah.
When really you're saying, hey, I got rain in my hair too. I hate the weather. I dig that. Yeah. The liking thing is a little weird.
Yeah. At the same time, it allowed that functionality, which I don't know how long that's... It's one of the newer bits on there.
Absolutely.
Liking stuff. You know, has enabled people to give it a thumbs up, so to speak, without actually having to sit there and come up with a comment. That's been a nice feature. And
yes.
I think, you know, maybe we'll see it evolve into agreeing or something, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows? In reading all that stuff, did you by chance catch a... understand when the schedule is going to be on that? When they might be releasing it?
All I'm seeing is impending, mm-hmm. that it's happening soon. But, I mean, it feels like there's a lot of buzz about it right now and that a lot of people are talking about it. So, yeah. I mean, I would imagine sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Hopefully, you know, that's not much of a change there, but we'll look forward to that. I'm still trying to get used to the last layout modifications they pulled on us back in, what, December. So
I think I'm on it so frequently that it's like a close friend that gets a haircut. I mean, a day later, and I can't remember what they look like before.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm
that's
over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, hey, what else is happening?
Well, as you know, Memphis applied for the Google Fiber.
We know this.
Yeah, network, mm-hmm. and that went through... Was it last week or earlier this week?
That's what the whole sinkhole thing was about, right? To, like, you know, give
sure,
the
fiber. Sure,
yeah,
they were going to lay the pipe.
Absolutely,
yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that 1,100 communities submitted applications for that, for the bid for Google Fiber.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty intense battle.
And we're in the running for the top 100 or something like that?
I don't know. I haven't read that. And I looked around to see when they were going to make their decision, but I don't know that they've set a date for that. I couldn't find anything about it.
Yeah. You know, I threw out there on Facebook or Twitter, I guess it was Twitter, that LunaWeb would give 6 computers to some organization, so somebody who does not currently have computers, you know,
yes.
trying to see if other businesses who want to, you know, unload some older machines for people that just, you know, can get online and get connected and help fill that gap. Because now all of a sudden it's like, okay, Google's bringing fiber, but they're not bringing computers.
Right.
You know, to the folks that don't have it. So,
right.
You know, maybe the business community that's an opportunity for the business community to step up and upgrade our, you know, machines.
I agree.
You're up for that, aren't you?
Sure.
You know,
I'll take an upgrade. It would be pretty incredible. I mean, you know, I did think it was interesting that this little tidbit I have here says that the applications centralized around the coasts, with a few of the central areas of the U.S. noticeably lacking in participation, it says. So I thought that was interesting. So that, you know... Maybe Memphis was one of the, you know, one of very few from the central United States that made a strong bid for it.
We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of great reasons why Google would want to, you know, choose Memphis.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the fact that there are social ills here that could be greatly, you know, helped by something like this should be a huge bid for us. So.
You know, on that note, it's great to have Justin McGregor join us earlier today.
Yes.
And only because he's from, I guess, originally from Vicksburg, Mississippi.
That's right.
And is now a Memphian. So let's go ahead and break over to that segment with Justin McGregor.
Okay, our guest this week is Justin McGregor. He is the webmaster at Southwest Tennessee Community College. Welcome to the expedition.
Howdy. How are you?
I'm sure that webmaster is a small hat.
Yeah, it's tiny. I do nothing.
on an expansive list of probably other hats that you wear.
I work in a kind of small shop in a very large institution. You know, we are a total of like 7 people, 2 of which do web work, but nobody's allowed to be a unitasker. On any given day, you know, I'm editing magazine copy, maybe writing magazine copy, going on photo shoots, in addition to, you know, web work, social media stuff.
So you do a lot of producing.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I've seen you're out there like getting B-roll footage for different things.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah, that's part of the gig.
You know, so you speak microphone.
Yeah, I speak microphone.
Speak
video camera. Yeah, I speak web.
And speak jazz.
I do, in fact. Here and there.
kind of a Renaissance guy.
I try, you know. I know a little bit about a lot.
And you're not from Memphis.
No. I'm originally from Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a year and a half in the jazz studies program at Southern Miss, which was basically like majoring in recess. It was pretty awesome, actually. Woke up with 60-odd hours under my belt in 3 semesters. and realized, you know what, one day I have to pay the bills.
Yeah.
And I wound up transferring to the Mass Communications Program at MTSU in 1995. Absolutely loved it there. Spent longer than I probably should have. took 7 years doing production work around Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And then relocated here. Amber, my wife, wanted to study with Greeley Myatt down at the University of Memphis. She's a sculptor. So we picked up and headed here and been here ever since.
Wow. So, you know, on the social side of things.
Sure.
You know, not that we need to focus on it so much, but, you know, so for the college.
Right.
What are you doing there on the social side?
Let me start with the not social piece. Like I said, we're not allowed to be unitaskers.
Okay.
And so everything I do in the social media realm, I kind of have to be able to tie back to something else in the college's world. Something else in the institution. We are on Facebook pretty heavily. Twitter, little less so, but that's ramping up. Because I speak video camera, I'm deeply in love with YouTube, have been for a long time. And so we maintain actually several channels on YouTube, not just my department, but I coordinate with other departments that have their own channels and put out their own content.
Okay.
That's kind of part of the gig. The primary thing is the website, big, you know, capital W website. 4,800 pages, that's the gig. But as much of that content as I can produce in a format that makes sense to push out through social media, that's where it's coming from. And most of that tends to be events, things happening on the ground, places we want bodies. I sit on the first floor of one of our two biggest campuses with a big window. I love my spot. And so I get to see the big courtyard where they have all of the events.
Okay.
We had a laser tag thing yesterday. How cool is that? And so I'm sitting there watching, you know, 60, 70 odd students playing laser tag out in the courtyard. And it's just, you know, it's one of those student events things that people do. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, why didn't they tell me in time for me to get this on Facebook? You know, it's one of those. But, you know, we've gotten to the point where, you know, I don't necessarily gauge, we're not an e-commerce thing. You know, we're not selling stuff on the web and all that. And so, yes, click-through is important for me. I pay attention to that. I measure it. I report on it. But I'm way more concerned about who shows up at the day and time when the thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether that thing is registration, which is our bread and butter. It's what we do.
Sure, yeah.
Or it's, you know, the latest brown bag luncheon or student activity thing. And by the way, if you ever want to get college kids free pizza, the best attended thing I ever put on Facebook, I'm telling you, the student activities once a semester just gives away pizza.
Really?
They just do it. And that's the way to get them to show up, man. I'm here to tell you, free food, they're on board.
You ever heard of Resolute Games?
Yeah.
I think that's how they got off the ground.
Is free pizza.
Yeah.
There you go, man. So yeah, a lot of what we do through Facebook is about getting people there.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we have them there, I show up with my video camera, videotape them, get them on YouTube, and the next time the event comes around, I can use it to push.
Gotcha.
You know?
Sure, sure.
And of course, you know, there's a lot of crosstalk, you know, mm-hmm. between the sites. We try not to make it a total echo chamber, but, mm-hmm. you know, if something goes on YouTube about an event that I've just publicized, well, yeah, I'm going to put the video back through the Facebook channel to say, hey, we're over here,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Now, do you, just out of curiosity, do you also upload the video into Facebook? Or do
no.
you just link it over
no,
to?
No, okay. I, you know, and I've gone back and forth about that.
Okay.
Whether I want to or whether I don't, and ultimately, I'm just as happy having one place that this is where you go for the video.
Yeah.
I try to tell myself it's not just because I don't want to do it twice. I feel like there's a benefit of not having a second set of metrics to track
mm-hmm.
in terms of you know where the video is.
Yeah.
And if you're just looking for video content, of course, with the YouTube thing, it's reusable. You know, I'm not just embedding that on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting it in our newsletter. I'm putting it on, you know, anytime anything is sponsored by a department, it goes on their, you know, if I get a video out of it, it's going on their webpage. Count on it. Just like no one person is in the department really does just one thing, we really, really try not to make any content that only has one life. we're a small shop serving a very large audience.
Yeah.
Unitasking just doesn't happen.
On the newsletter,
yeah.
Do you guys, is that a homegrown solution, or do you guys use Constant Contact or
Emma? It's a homegrown thing.
Okay.
It's definitely evolved. I mean, college turns 10 years old this year.
Wow.
And so we're doing a set of magazine pieces based on the 10th year anniversary, and I got put in charge of research for these things, and so I got to dive back through 10 years worth of this newsletter. And yeah, no, it's definitely evolved. It's a web-based thing written by Brad Montgomery. I think you've probably had read before. Yeah. And it's got RSS. It's kind of blog-ish. It doesn't have a combat engine. I'm still trying to convince the administration that's a great idea because I think it is. And we, you know, we push that out via email to alumni and, you know, board members and things like that.
Right.
But its primary life is on the web and as reusable content for social media. Again, that's one of those things because, you know, there are permalinks for every story and all of this. I can find, you know, which audience makes sense for which story and push it out through the appropriate channels.
Because your audience is not just students.
No, absolutely not. It's probably students in some fashion. Okay. It's potential students, it's current students, it's alumni, it's faculty, it's board, it's, you know, it's all of this. You know, our audience primarily is Memphis. I mean, when I go to like place a Facebook ad, you know, I'm not targeting our students. I'm targeting everybody in the MSA because they are they could potentially benefit from something we do.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And not to do the whole commercial, but with over 100 degrees in programs, you know, we've got something you can come do. And so you never know, seriously, who's going to show up at the site or on the Facebook. And one of the things I've loved about having the Facebook site be as open as it is, because I didn't shut anything off. You know, some schools and some of the educational consultants says, you know, pare down to just sort of, you know, the bare essentials. I left everything kind of open so that students can say whatever they want to whenever they need to. And it's nice to have that kind of access to what they're interested in.
Okay, great. You know, because they're there.
Absolutely they're there. Mm-hmm. And they're not afraid to say exactly what's on their mind at any given time, which, I mean, is hugely beneficial for me and I hope for the college. You know, obviously we do the best job we can to serve everybody that comes through the door.
Yeah.
But if somebody falls through the cracks for whatever reason, I like being able to catch them. Nice. It doesn't happen often, but I want them to have some place they can go and say, hey, I'm stuck.
Right.
Get me out of this. You know, and sometimes, honestly, it drives content on the site. You know, the same way I use like the site search metric in Google Analytics to kind of see where pain points are. You know, what are people searching for heavily? That probably tells me I need to push it up in the navigation a little bit. You know, the same thing happens on Facebook where I'll get, you know, three or four questions in a row about some particular thing that either some feature of the site or some piece of information that they, you know, that students need. And it allows me to kind of, hey, check it out. It's over here.
any comment on the this thing that they're coming out with where they, instead of being fans, they're just going to like college?
It seems semantic to me. You know, okay. Does it matter what we call the button if the function's the same?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they go changing the function, that's a different thing. There are certain things, as opposed to like the favorite on Twitter, which kind of doesn't really exist outside of some other service.
Yeah.
You know, to aggregate that. Becoming a fan in Facebook sort of has connotations. And I'd hate to see those change because there's real value in that.
do you use the favorite in Twitter?
No. Rarely. I sort of use like a bookmark.
Yeah. For your own.
Yeah, just for my own sort of. Yeah, yeah. I don't ever check my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not like on Favestar every day. Hey, how many people favorited that?
Yeah.
So, you know, how many stars did I get today? That's not me.
Yeah.
It's sort of a bookmarking feature more than anything.
So on the social side of things, you were talking about segmentation of Facebook versus Twitter and different things.
Yep.
You know, some people, they connect them all up and it's a broadcast type.
And I used to be that guy.
Oh, you did?
Absolutely, man. I used to be my own one-man echo chamber, for sure. and I have pulled back from that pretty hard, actually.
Share some of that insight. After having lived through that.
Well, sure. And I've spent the last 15 minutes talking about the college, and I will say this applies to my professional life too.
Mm-hmm.
But I came to the realization that these are not the same groups of people, and that was kind of the obvious one. But also, they're not there for the same reason. The followers I have cultivated, if you like to say, on Facebook aren't necessarily. They're not there for the same reason. They're not Facebook for the same reason. And most of them really don't ever intersect. You know, of the people that I'm friends with on Facebook versus follow on Twitter, and the same's true in the professional world, the overlap is tiny.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it easier for me to sort of say, okay, as I'm looking at putting this idea or this thing out into the world, you know, whether it's you know, just some observation or a link I think is interesting or whatever, it allows me to kind of edit myself. And mm-hmm. it's not a, you know, I want to hide this from this group of people, because that's not it at all.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm trying to cover anything up. It's just that I don't want to spam people to death.
Yeah.
I don't want to just cover people up and stuff. Mm-hmm. And when you get into that thing where everything goes everywhere, you just, I mean, I know I do it in my life. I start to tune people out. I don't mean to. They're people I really like.
Yeah.
But I get just so inundated that my little filter in my brain just shuts down. I don't want that happening to my stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, if I said it, or if I linked to it, or if I posted the picture or the audio excerpt or whatever,
yeah,
it's because it's something I genuinely do want to share.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to overshare to the point that, you know, it all becomes just noise.
Do you take advantage of the list feature inside of Facebook when you like send information out, as far as
I don't
channeling it
because
out?
Because my Facebook posting is becoming so sparse.
Oh, okay.
I spend a lot more time in Twitter, and part of it's just the practical way my workspace and my day works.
Yeah.
I for reputation monitoring purposes, I keep TweetDeck open all the time for the college.
Okay.
You know, I'm watching for mentions of the college and all of that.
Right.
And so that's kind of a constant presence. Yeah, I have my personal stream open in there too.
Yeah, sure.
And so that's really a constant thing for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas Facebook is somewhere I go, I do that for a short period of time, and then that's over.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's really becoming way more sparse for me. And it makes it easier, like I say, just not to cover people up.
Are you an iPhone user?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. As far as your Facebook updates, come with your phone or like a desktop?
Phone mostly.
What's the mix? Phone. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, Justin, you know, we need to have you back.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to.
So tell us, for people who want, do you want people connecting with you? Or, you know,
I'm completely open with that.
Where would we find you?
And of course, I picked the world's most obscure Twitter ID. Probably the easiest way in the world is facebook.com/JustinMcGregor. If you want to get into my more verbose area, I am on Twitter. It's Skippy, Skippy, TPE. Come find me. Yeah, by all means.
Okay. All right. Good deal. And you, you know, you are one of the expeditionaries.
Yeah.
I've
been there for a while.
you've been out here in the social sphere back from when, before it became, you know, the place to be.
Yeah.
Back when people were still saying, no, you know.
Like I told you before we turned the mic on, I'm a serial joiner and something's just stuck, you know.
Great. Well, Justin, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? It's been fun.
All right. Well, I look forward to Justin. Also, we didn't talk about it in this segment, but over at Tribe Camp, you know, being there, giving a couple of presentations.
That's right.
One definitely on some kind of photographic bits. And then maybe, who knows, the other one we're still trying to figure out. Because he has a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you should definitely get involved in Tribe Camp in any way that you can. You can find out more at tribecamp.com. You can also find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. We're just Tribe Camp, at Tribe Camp on Twitter. So follow, fan, or like, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be tomorrow. And if you're interested in speaking, if you're interested in sponsoring, I mean, get involved. It's coming up April 24th at the Memphis Academy of Science and Engineering.
Exactly. And so what this is about is, it's a conference like Bar Camp, and if you're not sure what that is, it's just a conference that's kind of centered around with people that are involved in the whole Web 2.0 space, getting together to share ideas and information with one another. What's different about Tribe Camp is we want to talk about tribes and forming, you know, small micro communities, as well as, from a professional standpoint, relationships in the professional relationships for professional growth. And how we need to get a little bit deeper with things and not be so Facebook friendly, you know, just very topical. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, superficial rather. So with that, I want to toss one more thing out there with the Google Fiber thing. Did you know some people are not in favor of the Google Fiber?
Why is that? Yeah,
because of privacy. Because Google is collecting all this information about us. And now if they wire up the city, Google's going to have all the data about the city, you know. So I'm just saying, there are counterpoints to the whole Google Fiber thing.
Here's, you know, I think that I will sacrifice a little bit of my privacy so that all the kids over at Dixie Home can have internet access.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Oh, sure. I think our privacy's already been sacrificed.
Yeah. I've already put all my information out there, so I don't have any room to care about that anymore.
But no doubt, some valid concerns as well that we hadn't seen much of, but I've seen a few tweets out there about that type of thing. So knowing that there are other perspectives out there, part
it's
of the
always
mix.
Good.
Yeah. So speaking of that, I noticed you got on here something about, now I've never actually seen Farmville. I've hidden it from my Facebook updates. I don't see it anymore, but evidently, you guys, what, people are losing their jobs?
They are. I actually once tweeted that the quickest way for me to lose respect for you in a public place would not, in fact, be for you to be looking at porn on your laptop. It would be for me to look over and see that you were on Farmville, because that is how disgusted I am by everything that is Farmville. But yeah, apparently there was a politician in Bulgaria, of all places.
Oh.
That is disgusting to me. People across the world are playing this game. Anyway, so he was removed from a city council committee because he was playing too much Farmville. And what I actually think is the funniest thing about it is that he defended his playing of the game by pointing out that his colleagues on the council were also playing and were at a higher level than him. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they obviously were playing it more.
Yeah.
But he was voted out 20-19. But he apparently had been warned several times. But I think the most interesting thing to note is that a study last year found that 8% of companies had dismissed employees as a result of social media.
Yeah.
8%. That's kind of hefty, I think.
Yeah. And I imagine that number's growing. It used to be MySpace.
Yeah.
You know, people just could not get off of MySpace during working hours. And with a company like ours, you know, where we're connected all the time and people have to be on the web. This is before social media became, you know, part of our offering. People were on MySpace.
And I would say now that's the last thing you have to worry about.
As the boss.
People being on MySpace.
And I'm, yeah. It's kind of funny because as the boss, you walk into a room and you see, you know, half the screens get minimized all of a sudden. You know, and it happens over and over. And then you begin to spot logos.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about us being on MySpace. I think your worries about that are in the clear.
And so I know everybody that hits here gets on Facebook. It's all work. All work. And
I'm always working when I'm on Facebook.
Absolutely. It qualifies.
Yeah.
It's just part of the glue that keeps us together.
Sure.
The whole mundane stuff. So what's that date again for Tribe Camp?
That's April 24th.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to go to tribecamp.com. Registration info will be coming there soon. But you want to sponsor, you want to speak, you need to get on, contact us.
Actually, we will have that connected today. Because the registration is already out there at Eventbrite. Eric,
then we'll just hook it up today.
This is a launch Memphis event, in case we hadn't said that earlier. And Eric's got that set up already. So we just need to point to that.
We will do it today.
You know, hey, register today.
And before that, you want to join us at our April breakfast.
Exactly.
On the 7th with Rod Kirby. Mm-hmm. And you want to go to meetup.com/socialexpedition to register for that.
Looking forward to that as well. You know, Rod's a very dynamic speaker.
He's going to be talking about the pillars of blogging success.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to get your blog off the ground, I know that's one thing that people always want to talk about at the meetups, at the breakfast. So you want to be there.
All right. Well, we look forward to that. I was just, it's like, wait, this is April Fool's. We didn't fool anything though. But let's see.
I don't like tricks. Yeah. Tricks aren't fun.
Tricks are for kids.
No. A friend of mine and I yesterday were talking about why we did such terrible things to each other during slumber parties as children. It doesn't make any sense. I look back now and think, how awful. Why would you write on someone's face with marker? You know, it's just cruel. I don't like being tricked.
I think we had different slumber parties.
Well, clearly. We were putting, 10-year-old girls' bras in the freezer so that they'd have to wake up to a frozen bra.
Wow.
Didn't know
you could freeze a bra.
I'm going to spend the rest of my life making up, redeeming myself.
This is the social expedition. With that, hey, I'm going to try and get some more South by Southwest bits together.
Awesome.
Coming up. So
be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
Adios.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency, meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskall, available online at ericmaskall.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.